Oogly moogly, good lord, go. Shut into the Carellcast. I am Carell. Internationally heard talk show host Charles Carell Boulay, now internationally seen right here from Park Howard in beautiful Long Beach, California, with my little dog Ember, Ember the LBC pup. And oh, Johnny Depp has stepped in it, hasn't he? We're going to talk about that. But I do have to tell you this morning, it was a great joy and a great thrill to wake up and launch the Pluto TV app, which is a free app. It's a lot of great free television in the Pluto TV app. It can be on your iPad, your iPhone, your television, whatever, your smart TV, your Apple TV. It's called Pluto TV. I've been watching it for a while now. Lots of great channels in there. Old movie channels and sci-fi channels and Mystery Science Theater 3000 channel and YouTube channels and regular channels, Sky News, MSNBC, all in there, all for free. It's all free television. A cable cutter's dream. It's called Pluto. And now Reverie, which is the gay and lesbian Netflix, which Life in Segments is on their platform. Reverie has now become the official gay content provider for Pluto. So one of the shows that they are airing three times a week on Pluto TV is Carell Life in Segments. And this morning I awoke and I turned on the television at about 7:30 and I turned on Pluto and there I was in this very studio talking to the world. On Pluto television. And as I told Ben Mason at Reverie, I have seen my stuff in very impressive places. Many big logos attached to my name, ABC, CBS, NBC. I've done them all, CNN, MSNBC, Fox. I've been everywhere, man. I had logos all over the place, CNN. Oh, I could go down the line. But it never gets old. And to know that this morning there were some people on Pluto that were watching the new Reverie channel going, what the hell is that? Made me very happy. It really did. I thought, there are some people going, what in the hell is this loud queer doing on my television? Well, that's what I'm doing there, baby, as Pride Week is upon us. I don't say happy Pride. I say remember Pride. So if you're in the Bay Area this weekend, remember Pride, please. It was a riot. I tell the story every year. I know you guys are over it, but it's just so important. And we're going to do a little later. Right now, though, Johnny Depp has put his smelly foot in. He smells. I've met him. Okay, I've met him. I have met him several times. Once at the Grammys, once at the... I've met him, okay? I've met Johnny Depp. And he did not smell every time I met him. Smelled greasy. Needs a shower. Oh, he's exactly like he looks. Just slimy. Ick, ick, ick. And I even told him the last time I saw him at the Grammys, I said, you would be so hot if you just bathed. I told him that. I really did. Ben Mason from Reverie just texted me and said, not at all, sir. Nothing to thank us for. It's been a pleasure to be able to help get you on the platform. You are a quality gay programmer that needs to be seen and heard more. We are very proud that you let us put it on our platform, as this could air on any network you wanted with any effort. Wow, what a nice thing. One of the heads of Reverie just texted me on my Apple Watch. Right here, hold it up, right here on my Apple Watch. That is a very, very sweet thing. A celebratory day today as the Carell Life in Segments TV show. So now it's on Free Speech TV. A lot of you have seen it there. It's at the website, lifeinsegments.com, where you can purchase it on Vimeo. It is not on YouTube, because I'm not giving it away. It is on Reverie, which is the new gay and lesbian Netflix and has so much great gay content. And if you're gay and you want a place to go on a Friday night to Netflix and chill, but you want it to be gay and lesbian content, then Reverie's the place. I'm not doing an ad for them. I'm simply, that's why I went with them. They're the only ones. They're the only app that has really got quality programming, podcasting, and music. And yes, it's $5 a month, but you get the first 30 days free. You can try it out. Really, try it out. And now you can watch it free on Pluto. So you can watch the best of Reverie, including me, free on Pluto, which every one of you can download. If you have a smartphone or an iPad or a television, every one of you can download it on Pluto. Every one of you. So there's no excuse to not see my show. It is now on Free Speech TV. It is at lifeinsegments.com on demand anytime you want to watch it or own it. It is now on Pluto, and it is on Reverie. Can you imagine all that distribution for my little TV show that you helped me do, and I'm not making a dime off of it, not a cent? You know I'm honest with you. Y'all interested how this works nowadays? They program on Pluto 24 hours a day, okay, Reverie TV does. That means in a 7-day week, there is X amount of minutes, and I'm not making this up, 24 hours a day times 60 minutes an hour. So 24 times 60. You all can do the math if you want to. But that's how many minutes in a day, 1,200 plus, right? So they times that by 7. So now you're at like 9,000-something-something minutes. And that 9-something-something minutes is the overall pay pie. And the overall pay pie is a very small fee per minute, like 1/10 of 1 penny. So they see how long you were on the Reverie Network on Pluto. How much did my show? It's an hour and a half, three, it's going to be 4.5 hours of programming, which is 270 minutes. So of that 9,000 plus minute pie, my show is 270 minutes of that. So they will pay me the increment of 270 from that pie. And it's probably going to be about $25. So I'll make $100 a month. But hey, that's money coming from television. From television. You see, people, you could be sad about a lot of stuff today because, God, thank God it's Friday. What a week. And we are going to talk about Johnny Depp. But let's talk about this first. I'm making money from television. Oh, $25 here and $50 there. And last week on Vimeo, someone bought an entire season, so I got $8. Y'all think that's nothing. You think, well, poor Carell. There are those of you who will put down below this video right now, you're failing because you suck, because you're gay, because you're fat. My friend Ken got called a fag at AT&T. Can you believe that? Just 2 days ago, he was helping a customer who was a prepaid phone guy in Santa Monica, and this prepaid phone guy wanted Ken to do something. Ken said, I'll just let me see your ID. Well, I don't have it. Well, sir, I need your ID to prove that you... Now I never have to show my... Sir, it's our policy. I have to see your ID. Do you have any other kind of ID? So Ken tried, no, I don't know. So he's got all mad. I need your manager, because everyone in America now, right? Fight about everything, right? So Ken's like, absolutely. So the assistant manager had overheard this, and so was walking towards Ken. And as Ken turns to go to get the assistant manager, the guy goes, fag. And Ken turns around and goes, what did you call me? And the guy goes, well, and so the assistant manager gets the guy and says, you're leaving the store. You know, out you go, out. And as he's going out, he's yelling at Ken, come and meet me outside, you ball-headed fag bitch. He calls him that in Santa Monica in June in 2017 because he didn't bring his ID to do a transaction. He now has the right to yell and scream at Ken in public, you fag this, you fag bitch that. Just 2 days ago, this happened to Ken. And Ken went right back to work. His manager said, do you need time off? Do you want to file a report? What would you like to do? And of course, they were all shaken because they had never seen a hate crime before. Most of these, when it happened to me in Monterey, when the Chart House in Monterey, a very famous restaurant there in Monterey, California, called the Chart House. I don't know if it's still there. It was right there by the Monterey Plaza Hotel Spa, by the donut shop there that I had the meet and greet at. So right there by the Monterey Hotel Spa and Pavilion, the Chart House, I'm not sure if that's still there. But at that Chart House, I was refused to drink because I was gay, as we have Gay Pride Weekend. Oh, yes, right there. And this was not in the dark ages. This was just 8 years ago. Right there at the Chart House, I was refused to drink because I was gay. They didn't want a fag in there. My friend Ken, just yesterday, got called a fag. And then the guy's all, come outside, you fag bitch. And he called him bald. And I said, well, see, Ken, I'd have had to go outside and fight him. He said, why? We've been called fags before. I said, oh, no, just don't call me bald. You call me fag is one thing. You call me bald, we gonna fight. And Ken just went back to work and took it in stride. And his next customer was African American, who said, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And Ken's like, well, you know, this is quite frankly Trump's America. This is the mood, you know, and that's how I'm weaving this into the Johnny Depp thing. What's going on in this country is so despicable, and Trump is he's the leader. He's the ringleader with the baton. He's the guy up front. He's the Twitter in chief. He has the president sets the tone. They do. The president sets the tone. And this president has said, and I have facts, I can show you tweets that are so racist and homophobic and everything from him, his close associates. This man is hatred, he is evil. Now y'all are going to have to start deciding what that means. Because if this man really is evil, and I believe he is, then an actor saying, I wonder when the last time a president was assassinated by an actor, is that what he said? By the way, 1865, John Wilkes Booth killed President Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth was an actor, and it was at the Ford Theater in 1865. That's the last time an actor, in answer to his question that he posed last night, Johnny Depp, the answer is... it would be John Wilkes Booth, 1865, at the Ford Theater, to Mr. Lincoln. Other than that, how would you like to play Mrs. Lincoln? So that's when. I guess he asked that question in jest. I don't know, because I heard his statement and I didn't hear him say you should go kill the president. But I'm not them, so they're going to explode about it. But what I did hear in my Uber this afternoon, as Ember and I were out in the world, was the Uber driver commenting out loud. This is what he said. Man, I wish he'd have a stroke while driving Pent somewhere and they'd just fall off a cliff. Now, this is an African-American, probably 35-year-old Uber driver saying out loud, I hope he strokes out and drives over a fence with drives over a cliff with Pent. That's what the Uber driver said to me today. Did he mean it? Was he issuing a death threat against the president? We're not going to be able to say these people today, yesterday, had handicapped people dragged out of the halls of Congress and are trying to cut aid to the weakest among us, the disabled, the poor, your grandmother, your grandfather, the people you see in wheelchairs. The weakest among us, they are trying to basically kill. Some of these people will die without the services that are offered through Medicaid, Social Security, all of that. Now, only evil people would plot. Only white, rich, evil people with the best health care in the world would plot the death, demise, poverty, and subjugation of an entire group of people based on wealth and wealth level. And that's what they're doing. Now, if they don't deserve for a crater to open up and them just to be swallowed up, who does? So we cannot have it both ways, people, really. Whether it's how to support your family cooking on $15 a day or what's up in the world of pets, technology, travel, leisure, politics, it's all on Life in Segments, my weekly TV show. Go to lifeinsegments.com right now. Lifeinsegments.com. Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's very exciting. It is the Stronger Together Day. Today at the website, the video is there, the link to buy the song is there, and it will be more prominent there in just a few minutes. It's on a splash page now. The problem is, if you've been to the website in the last 2 days, that splash page won't pop up for you, so you won't see it. Cabral didn't know that when he did it for me very nicely. Cabral did that splash page for me with the video on it and a link to buy it in iTunes. It must not be working since only 11 people have seen it. Oh, it'll just be a big disappointment for me again, and I'll just learn to deal with that. You know, I wanted to do it. I did it. I got these people together. We've done a very positive message. I think it's a good track musically. I think it should be played on the radio and everything else. But if you guys don't agree, if you don't want to go see it, if you don't want to go watch it, I know how many thousands a day listen to my radio show. Over the weekend, my video could reach over 10,000 views if just everybody listening at this moment played it one time. If everybody listening at this very second to me right now went and watched my video at reallycorel.com, it would have over 10,000 views. If everyone that listens between now and Monday on Progressive Voices Network, because they repeat two shows over the weekend, and in my podcast and everything else, it could get to 20 or 30,000. But it may not. I have to accept that. So I will. It doesn't change the fact that we did it. It's really good. And I hope you watch it. It's got a powerful message. I don't know what the next segment is. I recorded it yesterday. It's a surprise to me and you. But in the segment previous, I was talking about Johnny Depp and, you know, about the mood in America and how evil we know these people are to be. They're investigating Hillary Clinton now, by the way. Remember when John McCain said we should investigate the Attorney General Lynch about did she impede the Hillary email thing? They're going after her now. I bet they'll get her. They'll file some charge against Loretta Lynch before they will one of their own. And it's getting worse, and these people are evil, and they must be stopped. They are going to take away health care from people who need it so desperately, and these people may die. Now, that's not a... I'm not being... How would I say this? Are we a nation of hyperbole or truths? If we are a nation of truths, then here's the truth. Donald Trump is an oligarch. This package President Obama himself has said is not a health care plan. It is a gift to the 1%. It is the oligarchs taking away health care from you so they can give themselves more millions of dollars. It is a takeover, a money grab, and your friends or relatives may die because of it, or you. Now, that's the truth. It's a downright act of class warfare. It is an act of actual class warfare against you. All of you. Even if you're making $100K a year, this is going against you. What are you going to do about it? Whine and bitch and moan that there's nothing we can do? Well, some people, when faced with things like that, they say things like, gee, I wonder when the last time an actor assassinated a president was, because they are frustrated. My Uber driver today saying, I hope he has a stroke. Someone out saying to me yesterday when they were all meeting behind closed doors that they hope a meteor would strike Washington, D.C. People are, they're not coming out right and saying it because they're too afraid to. They are so afraid of their own government. They are so afraid that freedom of speech doesn't mean free that they won't say they hope that Donald Trump drops dead. Because we live in a society where some moron and idiot might go do it. And then they would feel terribly. And so would I. If Donald Trump dies at the hands of an American in office, I will feel horribly. I don't care who it is. If Mike Pence dies at the hand of an American in office, I will feel terribly. I will be remorseful. I will cry. I will leave this country before I condone the killing of its president or vice president. Because the person that I would be and the place that the country would have, there's no coming back from that. You act like if, many people act like if Trump or Pence or both were taken out by a sniper or by an earthquake or by, that things would magically get better, that Paul Ryan wouldn't be there, that Orrin Hatch wouldn't still be there, that the people that keep voting for Republicans in these districts wouldn't still be there. You act like these two are the symbol and whole sum total of the problem. They are not. They are merely side effects of it. Removing them would be like putting a salve on a rash. You're not getting to the underlying infection. We were taken over a long time ago. And if we don't get money out of politics, if we don't tax the rich, if we don't take our country back from the extraordinarily wealthy who have stolen it part and parcel, meaning every corporation, every individual, if we don't go after their money, 90% of their disposable income, like they did after World War I and World War II, 90%, any income over $1 million, taxed 90%, and they still got by. Still got by. After the Vietnam War, income over $1 million was taxed at 70%. 70%. Until we turn that table, it doesn't matter who's running things because they're not really running things and we know exactly who is. So stop wishing for Trump to die or for Pence and him to choke or whatever, for someone to take him out. It not only would we be horrible people to rejoice in such, but it wouldn't solve anything. Honey, you might have heard that video killed the radio star. It didn't. It made this one an even bigger one. That's why you got to go every day and watch at reallycorrell.com. That's reallycorrell.com. Also, facebook.com/reallycorrell. Watch me live every day at noon. How can I say this as Carell at the Carell Cast to where you can learn from this and why it was important for me today to come out here on the show or yesterday whenever you're listening or whatever and tell you this? Why? Okay. This morning I was sitting there thinking about Andrew and my mom. I've been reminiscing a lot because I'm thinking about maybe selling this house. It depends. I may not, but I might. And I've been very reflective. Andrew, my mom, people that I miss. And I reflected on what I ate yesterday. You know, my homemade strawberry ice cream. And I thought, you know, you got to stop that, whether it's homemade or not. You can't. You cannot. You're obese. You have a back injury. You can't do this. You're on heart pills, you know, for heart rhythm. And I did my whole thing about, you know, they live on through me, that I am their eternity. And then I said to myself something very powerful that I don't, you guys would think that I don't need to say a lot. But I said to myself, you're worth something. You know, you're worth something. I've been poor my whole life and gay, and I've had a lot of people my whole life tell me why I wasn't good enough to go to a certain place, to live a certain area, to be a certain thing. I wasn't good enough. I was too poor. I was too fat. I was too loud. I was too gay. It was something. I was told I'd never be on talk radio with a lisp. Who's going to employ me? A drama teacher once said to me, why are you even in acting? What kind of parts do you think there are for someone like you? I was told that by a teacher. By a teacher. Okay, so my whole life has been looking at life against the odds. Well, that can tear at your self-worth, and I don't have a lot of it. If I had more self-worth, I'd be richer. I'd be more physically fit. So this morning, I sat there and I said, you know, Andrew loved you enough to stay with you, to put up with you, which is a big deal, being me. And your mom loved you and would have given anything for you because she thought you were worth it. And you have these remarkable people in your life, from your roommate on down to, you know, Daniel Charleston, Ken and Dennis, these remarkable friends who invest time in you, who listen to you, who are there when you need them because they think you're worth it. They don't do it out of pity for you. They don't do it out of, you know, a community service, be Carell's friend. They do it because they think that you have something to offer, something to give. And so as I sat there staring at Ember, I said, so why do you put these poisons into the only thing that you have on this planet that is truly yours, your body? Why, when you know it's bad, do you buy a brownie to go with your homemade ice cream and you pay $3 for this brownie? What kind of brownie is $3? What kind of crap is in that brownie? Why do you need the brownie in the first place? Oh, well, because I'm having homemade ice cream. It's the first day of summer. Yeah, you have a million reasons why you're polluting yourself, but why are you doing it? You're 54. You stress out about heart attacks all the time. So much so that they gave you Ativan in case you ever get so stressed out from your arrhythmia that you think you're having a heart attack. And you're going to eat ice cream? Why aren't you exercising more every day? If a doctor says get in a pool and you don't want to drive to the gym, which why don't you? Then sell your house and get in an effing pool. Why aren't you worth it? And you guys, if I can do anything on this show, it's to reach right through this camera. I am not Stephanie Miller. I am not Tom Harmon. I want to know why you're not worth it. Why aren't you worth a good country? Why aren't you worth universal health care? Why? Why aren't you worth a national salary? Why isn't you not falling into poverty worth something? Why isn't your health care worth something? Why isn't the safety of you and your family, where you live, worth something? Because nowadays it appears that Americans have such low self-esteem of themselves, they'll let despots. You wouldn't marry Donald Trump. You wouldn't employ Donald Trump at a company. You wouldn't do anything for Donald Trump. So why is he the president of the United States? And don't give me all these other people. You know, all we've got is us, and if you're not worth the best, then what are you worth? What are you worth? Look around your house. Why is Oprah worth a clean kitchen, a clutter-free closet, a bathtub that doesn't look horrible? Why is someone else worth a living environment with clean carpet and furniture that they don't hate? Why are they worth it and you're not? And don't give me that you can't afford it, because Andrew would show me that you can do everything with nothing. That if you have to get out one piece of sandpaper and sand down an entire kitchen and then save up $20 and buy some paint, you can. The man had AIDS, full blown, and would get up someday and the only thing he would do that day is dig some in the pond. But ultimately we had a pond. Because he was worth it and he knew it. And he did so much for himself because he was worth it and he thought I was worth it. Why aren't you worth it? Why aren't we worth a California that actually works for us instead of against us? Why aren't you worth living someplace where you don't have to pay half of your income to where you're stressed every single day? Why aren't you worth a stress-free life? And don't say, I am Carell, but no one will give it to me. You've got to give it to you. No one will. In fact, they'll try to take it away. You're the only person that can say, I'm not going to put up with dirty dishes in my house. I'm worth more. You're the only person that can say, I'm not going to put up with crappy clothes. I'm going to go to a thrift store. I'm going to go to Kohl's, whatever. You're the only person that can say, my body is not right. I am too fat. Or I know that if I do this, I will be healthier. I don't walk as much every day. I need to walk 20 minutes a day. Yes, my back hurts. Yes, my hip hurts. But I still need to do it. Why aren't you worth it? I've wondered so long now why we feel we're not worth anything. We let car companies kill us. They kill us. They nearly killed me. We let people kill us. 12 people a day die on crosswalks. 1,300 children a year die of guns. 38,000 people a year die in car wrecks. Why aren't we worth more than that? Why aren't you worth? You know, instead of wondering why that guy kicked the car yesterday, the motorcyclist, and caused the big wreck, how about asking yourselves, why would a car allow that? Why would a vehicle allow any of that to happen? We have computers that can pilot something to Mars. Where are they there? Why aren't we worth a highway that's safe? When you feel you're worth something, you demand more of yourself and those around you, and not everybody likes it. Why aren't you worth friends that build you up and love you and trust you and empower you? Why aren't you worth that? Why are you in relationships that just don't work? Why aren't you worth more? Why aren't you worth a body that doesn't require opiates? Why aren't you worth being away from that drug? Why don't you care enough about yourself to not let Percocet rule your life? Why? Why do so many Americans have a drug problem? Why do they feel so badly about themselves? Because the only thing we decided that pushes you to drugs is unhappiness. Unhappy rats medicate. Why don't we feel we deserve happiness? Well, because we were told that without them, see, that's the marketing thing. I am the person for marketers. I'm the guy that's tired of cooking. I just can't take hours in the kitchen. Okay, here, have this. It'll save you all this time. Just pop it in the oven. Just pop this in the microwave. Just mix this up. Just throw water in this. But then it's not food. But it solves the problem, but it's not food. It's something other than. You know, we have a country of people, 310 million people, who feel they are not worth the best country that they can have. And I know this because we don't have the best country we can have. And we don't have it because most of us feel we're not worth it, because government tells us we're not worth it. You know, if you're poor, you feel you're not worth a lot. You do. If you're poor, you let others destroy your self-worth because somehow, you know, you can't go to dinner, you can't go to the movies, so somehow you're less than, you know? You can't go. Today, I wanted to take my friend Daniel always goes with me to concerts and stuff, and I get tickets to them through the media. But sometimes one pops up that I didn't know about, and I want to see, he wants to see. I want to see Jason Mraz at the Hollywood Bowl tomorrow night. Okay, I really do, like badly. And Adam Lambert next week with Queen. I think that'd be a great show. I clicked at the Hollywood Bowl for anywhere that I could see the stage. The cheapest ticket was $180. The tickets down front, $345 each. I openly laughed. I said, who are concerts for now? They're back to Shakespeare again, where it's the royals and the plebes. And I deserve better seating than that. No offense to Adam Lambert or anybody. But if even at $60, which are the nosebleeds, $60 should be down front. Who are these people? You know, that's ridiculous. I don't want to hear from them how much it costs to do a show. Bull crap. If it costs that much, then you shouldn't be doing the shows. You're making people spend money they do not have to go see you. You know, we deserve everything life has, no matter our income level. People ask me, Carell, why do you always act like you deserve the best of everything? Because if I don't, who does? Who on this planet deserves better than you? I'm being serious. I'm asking you a very serious question. Does Donald Trump, because he's president? Did Nelson Mandela deserve better than you because he was this hero? Does someone on this planet does Oprah deserve better than you because she worked hard and saved her money and started a network? Does she deserve better than you? You know, air travel is a prime example of how we will let people abuse us because we feel we don't deserve better. You feel that you're getting exactly what you deserve for the price at an airline, or you wouldn't fly. I don't fly. There is no way. Business class, first class, or I won't go because I deserve better than what they do to you in coach now. I will not fly coach. I will not, period. That's just it. Will not. Why? Because I deserve better than what they do to people in coach. No one should be treated that way. And if everybody stopped flying because they refused the treatment, they'd get better treatment. See, fear is the number one enemy of people with low self-esteem because it's what keeps them doing anything. Why am I afraid of trying to have a diet like Bill Clinton? What am I afraid of there? I could always go back. What am I afraid? Oh, I won't know how to do it. The food will all be bad. I'll take too much time preparing. I won't be able to eat out. Vegetarians seem to manage. I'll hate it. Maybe I will. But what do I hate more? The taking of an Ativan because I'm worried I'm having a heart attack and I've stressed myself out so much? Or knowing that I'll never have one again? Why don't I deserve knowing that I'll never have a heart attack? All it takes is becoming a vegetarian. The amount of vegetarians that have heart attacks, 4%. That's it, 4%. 96% of vegans die of other things. So why don't I feel I deserve that? Here in California, people will pay so much money for a crappy place to live. Why? Why? Go live someplace else? Oh, you can't. Job this, job that, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm learning now. I deserve a beautiful home. I have one now. And in the future, I deserve a beautiful home. I don't deserve poverty or any of the stuff. I don't deserve, you know, people mugging me on my way home or feces in front of. I don't deserve that. I'm a better person than that. See, but now people say, oh, that's arrogance. Now they'll keep you down by telling you if you feel good about yourself, you're arrogant. They'll tell you that nowadays that's the whole thing, to try to make you humble. They can be as great as they want to. Corporations can tell you they are the answer to every problem the world has. But you say that you are the most remarkable thing, and they will tear you down. They will tear you down beyond belief. Well, maybe you are, because to you, you should be. You should be the most remarkable thing to yourself. And if you're not, I want you on this Friday to start working on that. Start working on why you're not the most remarkable thing to yourself. Why don't you deserve food that is actually edible? Why are you marching up and having the deli slice you off that chicken for that sandwich when you could go buy a whole chicken, roast it, and slice off some of the breast? Why are you doing all of the things that play into being bad for you? When you're sitting there about to binge watch a TV show, why don't you at least get up and walk around for 20 minutes? Why? Why don't you deserve what that does for you? You got to start looking at life as, what am I doing? What do I deserve? Because right now you are getting exactly what you feel you deserve. You are getting the life you feel you deserve. It is that simple. It really is. No, that has nothing to do with money or anything like that. I'm telling you just attitude-wise. All right, I wanted to tell you that. I wanted to tell you that. And how I feel I need to make some changes. Hey, my sponsors at GearUpEveryRide.com want to remind you that your head and your brain is worth a lot. So be sure that your helmet has got approval by the Department of Transportation. Be sure it meets their standards. How do you find out? Go to GearUpEveryRide.com now. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell. Charles Carell Boulle, to be precise. Going back to what we were saying in segment two, you know, I want Trump gone. I want Pence gone, out of office. Ryan, too. Orrin Hatch. I want them all gone. And I would like to see them in jail. I think they're all criminals. I do. I believe they're all in collusion. I think all of them. I think half the Congress. I really do believe there should be a purging, and it should be a criminal one. The Mueller should arrest 200-plus Congress people, 60, 70 senators, and everyone in the executive. I mean that. I honestly believe that, and you honestly believe that. And I think that even Trump supporters would honestly go along with that sentence. We all want the same thing. And, you know, even Johnny Depp, it's like, Johnny Depp, come on. You know, get better than that. Joking about that, why? You live in a, if someone did it at your behest, I would feel terrible. If I, you know what, say what you will. When I said I hope Joe the Plumber drops dead, it wasn't a death threat, okay? It was not. But if some warped, sick person had taken it to mean that and some harm had befallen him, I would have felt terribly. Even though I hated the guy, I would have felt horribly. And as much as I detest Trump and Pence, I want them removed from office. I want them just shackled and taken out and taken to jail for treason. That's what I want. You know? If they're tried at The Hague and they get the death penalty, well, that's there's been a trial and a jury and, you know, all of that. But we have to stop acting like more of these jokes aren't going to be made. We have to stop acting like a lot of people are now starting to want ill will to befall the president and vice president. And see, I won't stay if that keeps growing. And I mean that. I may move to Vegas. I may. But after that, I'm a free bird. And once I leave Park Howard, I'm sort of that. That's sort of it. My string is cut. Then I can be going to Dublin more often and traveling around more often with Ember because my strings are cut. This is my home. These are my roots. I'm cutting them. If I leave, I leave. And I'm going to cry so I don't want to talk about it. Everybody says leave, but the numbers say leave, but this is my home. This is what you fight for in a war. This is what Scarlett O'Hara, this is my home. This is, but I hate it. I hate 7th Street. I hate it. I hate my home. I love my house. I love my yard. I love the people that come to my house. I love the decor of my house. I love the layout of my house. I love how grand my house is. I just hate where it's at. Hate where it's at. But anyway, these people are evil and they're doing evil things, and so people are going to wish evil upon them. We have to stop pretending that that's not going to happen. And we can't have a knee-jerk reaction every time it does, okay? Because a lot more people are going to be saying that they wish him ill will. You know what? I would rather leave this country than actually in my heart feel that. I mean that. I would rather leave this country than to just be waiting for him to be harmed. That because I don't want to be that person. Do you? Do you? Wouldn't you rather just go away for 2 or 3 years if you could, sell your house or rent your house or literally find a way to go live in Mexico or to go live in Canada, to go live in Ireland, to go live somewhere that's very liberal and that you can get a visa for if you're over 55, you can really, that's pretty easy, and go and live somewhere else for 3 to 5 years so you don't feel that you want the person in charge of your country to have harm befall them. Because that's just no way to live. That's like living with a husband or wife that you want dead. You know, the burning bed. It is just like that. And it never leads to good. And you know what? I don't know that I want to watch this. As this road, if they don't get him out, if he doesn't get impeached or resign, and the hatred between everybody keeps festering in our country, the violence is going to spill into everywhere. It won't just be Trump and Pence that have to worry, and yes, all the Congress people who now want to carry weapons and have guards. It's going to be a completely dystopian picture where politicians are just guarded off from everybody and everything. But more importantly, the violence spills into us because people are upset and they're frustrated and they're angry and they're idiots and they're fighting over nothing. And there'll be more and more, you know, violence at Walmart. And violence at beaches and violence at schools. And it will just grow and grow if this man continues to be our president. It's only been 140 plus days. We cannot take 3.5 more years of this. We'll rip ourselves apart. It will be an undeclared civil war and there will be violence. And I'm more worried about that than his life or Pence's. You know, leave Johnny Depp alone for making a stupid joke about one of their lives. Many American lives could be in danger if this hatred that breeds this sort of it's okay to kill somebody thinking continues to grow. It should be stopped. No more jokes about, like that advocate writer who said, you know, for gay rights, is the rainbow flag the thing you want to the hill you want to die on? No more of that. No more talking about death, killing, assassinating. There's enough messed up people now and plenty of guns. And they'll just start shooting just anybody. We've seen that. So just stop. All Johnny Depp, stop. Me, stop. Everybody stop. And let's remember that only a terrible individual would wish the death of another person. So if that other person is so terrible that they deserve that kind of emotion from you, it's you that need to leave if you can. Really, if that's the truth. And he lives in France, by the way. I am Carell. Be who you want to be. So long, don't hurt anybody. Happy weekend.
You're listening to The Carell Show.
Carell. Because I got something to say. Is that okay with y'all? All right, then. Yeah, it is The Carellcast. I am Carell, heard internationally from my beautiful little home here in Long Beach, California. Happy Friday to you all. Happy Friday. To those of you in the chat room and on the video, don't spill any secrets. All right, I wanted to just briefly tell you all something, because I was speaking with my syndicator yesterday, GCN, Genesis Communication. They are the home of Alex Jones. They are. I get to broadcast every day because Alex Jones is successful. Think about that. GCN's other shows are not bringing anywhere near the revenue of Alex Jones. And so because of Alex Jones, I get to talk every day and others. So as you condemn Alex Jones for being a crazy, horrible nut job, just remember, it is that crazy, horrible nut job that helped put my radio show up on a satellite. Okay? So I was talking to the syndicator yesterday, GCN, and they were excited. And they were reaching out to me to re-communicate, retouch base, and get back about the show. And I said, well, this is great. And also Progressive Voices Network just reached out about that very thing. And I said, why are you two so interested? And you fans of talk radio are going to love this right now. They are both waiting for the downfall, which is about 12, anywhere between 2 to 24 months away, of both Cumulus and iHeartMedia. Both of the industry's biggest radio companies are going to go bankrupt in the next 12 to 24 months, period. It's not a maybe. It's not an if. Lou Dickey, who owned Cumulus, which owns KGO Radio San Francisco, he has already put together a $250 million fund. Remember that they kicked him out of his own company. So he's over there on the sidelines. He's going to do a takeover. You wait and see. Okay? They've already put into place legislation called poison pill takeover legislation, to where if someone starts buying too much of their company, their stockbroker knows to stop it and buying more themselves. So their stock used to be $70 a share, Cumulus Media, that owns KGO Radio. It is now 52 cents a share. Okay? That's a big drop. iHeartMedia is trading, I think last I looked, somewhere around 20 cents a share. They own KFI. iHeartMedia and Cumulus are not going to be able to continue to do business the way that they are. Radio is going to be broken up again. Probably within 12 to 24 months. Now, what is that going to do for you, the listener? Let me tell you. It is going to bring back diversity on the dial. It is going to bring back diverse music stations where they will be able to explore, expand, and do more because they don't have a corporation telling them they can't do it. You will get more local programming in tune with your community of San Francisco, San Jose, Texas, Florida, Los Angeles, New York, wherever you're listening, Ireland, wherever you're listening to me. There'll be a stronger sense of community because radio stations will be owned by people in your community again. They will also program for your community. Remember when radio stations used to go out and do remotes? They'd have people out at you know, restaurants, gas stations. I used to go everywhere. They'll do that again. The product of radio will be better when Cumulus and iHeartMedia go bankrupt, and they are. They are already dodging, you know, bankruptcy protections. They've been dancing with bankruptcy now for like 4 years. Now, why? Why don't they have any money? You guys, why do you think? In the chat room, why do you think? Why do you think? Oh, no, KGO is not worth $100 million. No way. KGO will go for under 50. They've destroyed that radio station. They've completely destroyed it. Someone bought it at $2.88 a share. Now it's at 14 cents a share. Yep. In my chat room, there's someone there. Absolutely. So why do you think that they have no money? How many of you out there think it's because they just don't know how to program? KFI, KGO, they're just crappy. That's why they're losing money. How many of you think they just have crappy programming? Just raise your hand. How many of you? How many? Okay, well, that'd be wrong. That's not why they're failing. They're failing because they are not programmed from the community. Okay, so they're all programmed from the Midwest, and those people have no idea what to program for people around the country on the programming side. So that's not money. Money-wise, they're failing because Cumulus and iHeart spent way too much money buying the radio stations. See, when Cumulus bought radio, I don't know if y'all care, but this is how you listen. This is what affects your life in terms of media. When Cumulus bought KGO in San Francisco, they bought the ABC radio network, okay? ABC owned radio stations as well as TV stations. KGO was an ABC station. I used to have the ABC logo on my check. It was the coolest thing ever. When I went to 900 Front Street where they used to be, I walked into a building with the ABC logo, which made me feel like I was going to American Bandstand. It was the coolest thing ever. Just ever. So when, and they bought that out. iHeart bought out a lot of CBS and then Clear Channel. Clear Channel Communications became iHeart. So when they sold these, it was at the height. I mean, they paid huge bucks for this. So they had to get a return, okay? KGO Radio takes up 5% of Cumulus's budget. They own 700-plus radio stations, and just one takes up 5% of the budget. Because they spent so much money, they have to service their loans, okay? So there's no way that iHeart, for instance, could bring in the $8 billion a year if for 5 years in profit they would need to pay off their loans. It's not possible. The money's not there anymore. You see, they bought these stations for all this money under the old dynamic that these radio stations could generate bazillions of dollars in ad sales because they're huge stations. They never once considered the effect that streaming or the internet. They saw it as an addition to their business. I've had the conversations with these people. They were so late on the digital freight at KGO that they can't catch it. Other little tiny progressive stations that have 1,000 watts but a huge online presence are kicking their butt because they simply did not jump on board the online. They're still not. They don't video cast every show that's on the air there. They don't do Facebook Live for everything. They don't do the Periscope. They're in the dark ages. Okay? So they're going to be sold. When this happens, you'll say Carell told me. Okay? Because no matter what, more of you listen to talk on radio than you do on podcasting, streaming, or any other format. We can deny it all we want. Oh, radio's dead. Radio is not dead. Okay, radio is not dead. I know that all the early adopters and everything says radio's dead, radio's dead. Radio is not dead. Okay? It's not. And, you know, to insinuate that radio is dead is wrong. It's not dead. And so what's going to happen is iHeart will go bankrupt, Cumulus will go bankrupt. When they do, the stations will get broken up. I've been told by several people that my career could go on an upswing again in terms of radio, that KFI could come back, KGO could come back. We could syndicate this hour and get it on in, like, many more markets. Right now, there's not the opportunity to do that because in the entire United States, how many of you in the chat room, there's like 20 of you there now, how many of you, take a guess, okay, how many progressive talk radio stations do you think there are in all 50 states in the United States of America? And when I say progressive, I don't mean necessarily me or Randy or Stephanie or Tom. I mean something other than right-wing conservative talk. How many radio stations total in the entire United States, how many do you believe are not right-wing? Someone said 3. well, that's one guess. Anyone else in the chat room? How many? Come on, Cherokee, Denise, Carter. Come on. Carter says none. Not counting NPR. NPR is not counted. It's not rated. NPR does not subscribe to the Nielsen ratings. Therefore, it is not considered a radio station in your market. And because of that, just know this. NPR has consistently beaten KGO Radio for 20 years. When KGO always said they were the number one in the Bay Area, they really weren't the number one talk. NPR was, but it's not rated. Didn't count. Cherokee says less than 50. Denise says don't know. Okay. Last count. And we just went over this yesterday with a radio syndicator. Last count. There are, no, commercial radio stations, not college. Last night, or last count, there are 39. Out of over 10,000 radio stations in this country, okay? 39. If they are talk, only 39. That's not even one in every state, okay? That's 39 stations that are not right-wing talk. And when Clear Channel goes bankrupt, iHeartMedia, and when Cumulus goes bankrupt, that will change. That will change immediately. MSNBC is now number one. Rachel Maddow is now the most watched cable news program in her hour. And because of her and others, MSNBC now consistently beats that traitor, what's his name, Anderson Cooper, who turned his back on... I'll never watch him again. Ever. Never. Never. He turned his back on Kathy Griffin, cut her, threw her to the wind, called her what she did disgusting the day it happened, didn't call and talk to her and ask her about her motivation, didn't ask her about the thought process that went into it, what were you trying to say with the photo. In other words, wasn't a good friend or a good reporter. Made her cry her eyes out. Nope, I'll never watch him again. I will. He's dead to me. Dead to me, like they used the Greeks used to say. He's dead. Was it the who's it? Italians? He's dead to me. That's it. I will never. I won't even go up and say hello to him if I ever see him. He is dead to me. What a traitor! What a treacherous turncoat he is. To not stand by his friend. He could have said, "Look, I disagree with what Kathy did, but there is freedom of the press." That's what he could have said. Instead, he derided her and didn't even call her and say he was going to do it. Nope. And I'm glad that Rachel Maddow, do you know how fun it is that a lesbian is now kicking openly gay man's ass? And do you know how Charles Carell Boulay standing in front of you is partially responsible for that? And I'm not making that up. David G. Hall at KFI Radio is partially responsible for Rachel Maddow and for Anderson Cooper because he put two queers in drive time radio on a number one radio station in 1997. Okay? So before Anderson, before Rachel, before Rosie, before all of them were Carell and Andrew. So anyway, there is now under 40 radio stations in this country deemed progressive or non-right-wing talk. Once Cumulus and iHeart break up, that will change. And you'll be able to turn on your radio dial in your car again and hear different music. Remember when you'd have an FM station that would play album cuts? They would play songs that weren't the singles. They'd do a whole album. They'd play the whole thing. Like for lunch, they'd just drop the needle on side one and play it all the way through. Remember when you'd have a radio station that would play dance music, pop music, country music, easy listening to, all on the same station, like a shuffle Pandora? You know, like when if you have a bunch of playlists on Pandora and you shuffle the music. Remember when radio used to do that? It will be able to do it again. It can't do that right now. It has been strangled by the corporate tentacles. When Cumulus and iHeart get their money-grubbing, greedy, non-creative tentacles out, creativity will flow back into radio. Because let's not forget, as much as I am a television and film and all of that stage person, radio is still one of the oldest and most powerful communicative mediums we have. And I consider podcasting and streaming radio, by the way. I am on radio every day, not just terrestrial, but no matter how you're listening to me, I say it's the radio. Your phone is a radio. You know, it's a streaming radio. So that's how all of this will help you. You will get more variety. You will hear different hosts. There will be more local content and local control, all because these two companies over the next 12 to 24 months are about to go bankrupt. All right, we will finish up on this afternoon, Friday, June 16th, right after this. I am Carell. Don't forget, support us at reallycarell.com. Watch Life in Segments all weekend long. And our Pride special is on Free Speech TV. Chat with other Carell listeners, watch me live, get a live feel of the show every day at noon at reallycarell.com. That's reallycarell, K-A-R-E-L.com. Also at facebook.com/reallycarell. Check me out every day at noon.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, baby, 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 baby. You got what I really need.
It is the Carell Cast. International talk show host Charles Carell Boulay, heard right here in Long Beach, California at his home in Park Howard. So glad you're joining me. Guess what? The secrecy surrounding the Senate health care bill raises alarms in both parties, according to the New York Times. And I hear that Republicans are not being flooded with calls against it. So do me a favor right now. Today, this Friday, go to facebook.com/townhall. Just do it right now. Facebook.com/townhall. What it's going to do is give you all of your representatives right there. I want you to click on the Republican ones. It'll let you call them right there from the app. And just call them and tell them to vote against this health care bill. Please do that right now. Facebook.com/townhall. Click on the Republican members of Congress and the Senate from your district or your state and let them know that you are against Trump care. You do not want it. All right, I just wanted to remind you to do that. This is not a Trumptonious segment. I just wanted to remind you that the calls are down. So please call these people, leave them messages, and you can do that at facebook.com/townhall. Okay? All right. There's a lot that happened in the news that we didn't get to talk about this week, and something I want to bring to your attention because it's the right thing to do, and you don't get to hear about good things, and the whole focus of the show now is to tell you about things you may not have heard that are good. How many of you know John Oliver? Not personally, but you know of him. Raise your hand. Okay. John Oliver must be richer than we thought, first of all. John Oliver just bought $15 million. $15 million of medical debt. Okay? Medical debt. So you go in to see the doctor. You can't pay the bill. It goes to collections. They try to ruin your life until you file a bankruptcy. Which then Wells Fargo tries to exploit you, but we talked about that yesterday. Go see the podcast at reallycarell.com. Watch the video, reallycarell, or facebook.com, reallycarell. So anyway, John Oliver bought $15 million, okay, of medical debt. And what did he do with it? Did he see it as an investment in order for him to then get this money back? Because he bought it probably for 20 cents on the dollar, 50 cents on the dollar, 10 cents on the dollar. He probably paid $1.5 million for that $15 million of debt. I'm sure I could look it up, but do y'all know how collection agencies work? Let me tell you why this whole system is so absurd. When you have a debt with a company, let's say a medical company, and you don't pay it, the medical company then sells that debt, sells it to a collection agency for 10 or 20 cents on the dollar, okay? And so if any money is recovered, either they get 10% of it or 20%, or that the collection agency just gives them the money up front. So let's say you owe $1,000. So a collection agency has now bought that debt for $100. The medical company writes off the entire $1,000. So for them, it's like free income. They now got $1,000 non-taxable free income. They got a write-off. So your debt becomes a write-off for the medical company, which now it's a positive for them. It's a tax credit for them. So they actually have come out okay. They sell it to the collection agency, which then hounds you. And that collection agency, if you owe $1,000, they probably paid $100 for the debt. So if you pay them even just like $5,000 or $8,000 outside of the $100, that is pure profit. Pure profit. So John Oliver bought this $15 million in debt, probably for under $1 million. And guess what he did? He immediately forgave it. In other words, everyone that owned or owed any money on those debts, it was now forgiven. Can you imagine? You have been in collections. It's ruined your credit. You can't get a credit card or anything because of these medical collection accounts. They're like 300, 500. So I was that way until when we bought the house I'm in right now. Andrew had to buy it. I couldn't get credit because I had 8 things on my credit report from medical throughout the years that totaled about $5,500, and I never had the money to pay it. And then when we bought this house, that money went to a down payment. So I couldn't, so it was in my 30s, I had bad credit because of medical bills. Well, John Oliver came along, bought $15 million in debt, and forgave it. What if people just started doing this? What if people started buying for 10 cents on the dollar, major debts, a million here, a million there, people that could afford it, and then forgave it? What if we did? What if there was a way to start a company where you could say, I'll pay $1,000, and they say, okay, great, that's a $10,000 debt. All right, great, then I'll buy it for $1,000 and forgive it. If we could get the government to give us a tax credit for doing that, that'd be something. But kudos to John Oliver for buying $15 million of medical debt and then forgiving it. I wish other people with money would take heed. I am Carell. Do what you want to be. Be who you want to be, so don't hurt anybody.
You're listening to The Carell Show.